people get caught in the middle, the Three Wide Podcast will be right back after this time out.
Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Yo, what's up? This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, back on the airwaves one more time. Eddie Greer III here with you guys once again for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. NASCAR Cup Series in the playoffs, followed by the Xfinity Series, of course, closing in on that as well. Gander Outdoor Truck Series caps off their regular season as well. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast, where I talk all about the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. Man, a jam-packed hour coming up right at you. Of course, we'll get to all the lowdown from Darlington later on. And, of course, the Xfinity Series. I'll talk about that as well. The Xfinity Series opens up doubleheader tomorrow night and Saturday afternoon, setting ourselves up for round two of the 2020 NASCAR playoffs up there in Virginia, Richmond Raceway. And of course, here in just a bit, actually, as I'm recording this podcast right now, 45 minutes out from green flag action from the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. We'll recap that here in a bit. Before we get into all that, of course, you can follow me at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter, which I've been very quiet on that front. And if you've been listening to the show for quite a while, you probably know why. I'll dive into all that in the second segment of tonight's episode. Of course, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever you get your sports podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom. Be getting a lot of downloads, obviously, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more. The 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Get it now. We are quickly winding down this weird, wacky 2020 season, which has been dominated by two drivers in it. Basically, well, I'll get into that in the second half of the show. But, of course, we got to start with some breaking news that I got just a couple hours ago on my phone. And it involves silly season, none other than Bubba Wallace. Yes, Bubba Wallace, of course. And I hate to say, there was a lot of speculation or news surrounding at least the whole Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, Bubba Wallace situation, as I noted a couple weeks ago on this 3-Wide Podcast. And then also, obviously, you know, Bubba Wallace has been the top of discussion, unfortunately, this year, and we all know why. I'm not going to dive into all that. We all should know what's been going on with him lately, but I am happy for Bubba for this move that he put down a few hours ago. Literally, Bubba Wallace not coming back to Richard Petty Motorsports. And really, Bubba is starting to get all the sponsorship deals and whatnot. And Bubba making the right decision, at least in my opinion anyways, that, hey, I mean, they've been better this year, obviously. Whole RCR Alliance, RPM, you know, we've seen improvements from RCR this year, including Tyler, obviously, elevating that Richard Childress Racing program. And I'll have more on Austin Dillon in the second half of the show. But, obviously, Richard Petty, Bubba Wallace, excuse me, not coming back to Richard Petty Motorsports. Huge loss for RPM. Bubba making the decision, trying to be more competitive. And obviously, this was a critical decision for him. Are you going to stay with Richard Petty Motorsports, where you've been mid-pack, back in the back for some races? I mean, we've seen him, the performance has been better this year than in years past. Obviously, Martinsville, one of his better tracks. Almost won Daytona a few weeks ago to get himself in the playoffs. Obviously did not make the playoffs there. So, I mean, a question has been answered there. Obviously, Corey LaJoy not coming back to the 32. Wallace not coming back to the 43 opens up that door. You know, the 40, Matt Kenseth, earlier this week, also saying that he ain't coming back. Obviously, ever since that top 10 at Darlington, and he was impressive at Indianapolis, but besides those two performances, he's been awful for the 42 since the whole Kyle Larson blow-up during the iRacing session. But this is huge and this really opens the door now. Obviously, you know, Jimmy Johnson not coming back. Retiring. But obviously, Jimmy Johnson exploring other opportunities that we've talked about on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, that he and Ganassi closing in on something for IndyCar for a few races that I came across this week as well. So, silly season picking back up. This is big right here. So, obviously, there's been some chatter on podcasts, on Twitter, you know, other websites that I've been reading up on. 42 could be available to him. That's been really the common area at that. So, you know, Ganassi, obviously, I mean, it's there. Kurt Busch, that one car in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, if Bubba is going, I mean, he couldn't stay there another year. Or whatever the situation is that he could. I mean, this right here, I mean, huge. And, of course, and Richard Petty, Motorsports, said in a prepared statement today, early this morning, quote, Darrell Bubba Wallace Jr. informed Richard Petty, Motorsports, he will not be returning for the 2021 NASCAR Cup Series season. And then here's the other quote. We will complete the season with Wallace behind the wheel of the number 43 Chevrolet Camaro. We look forward to the next chapter in the making for the iconic 43 team. We will announce our new driver in the near future. So, looks like Richard Petty Motorsports already had probably a driver in mind. We don't know who that is. Obviously, we'll find that out as the postseason rolls on. So, I mean, this is critical. Obviously, Bubba's been in the news really all summer long, you know, with the whole race, their whole racism issues, social injustice, whatnot. That's been dealt with for all sports. And again, I've high praise Bubba, obviously, being an African American who does this podcast, African American driver. He's done wonderful things. Despite all the criticism and whatnot, he has really stood up to all that he's withstood. And, I mean, like I said, the performance has improved this year, but, I mean, what it is this year, the inconsistency with RCR, Rich Petty Motorsports, is not there. They have a blip on the radar here now and then, but the inconsistencies, I mean, unfortunately, is that every time he's had a fast race car, he's had issues with it. So, I mean, Bo wants to make that next chapter. He wants to be more in contention, and you're not going to, and fortunately, for those guys, he didn't think that he was going to do it with RPM. So that leaves that seat open now. 43's open. 32's open. Let's see the 42's. I said that. The 42, 43, the 32's open. We don't know. There's been a lot of back and forth discussion about the 48, where that's going to be back or not for Hendrick Motorsports next year. And we saw William Byron already re-signed with the 24 of Hendrick Motorsports. Through 2022, we mentioned that last week on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. So this is clearly right now. I mean, not leading anything on, but you know, the 42 is right there for Bubba here, and obviously the note I mentioned Larson already, just a blip, and there's been a lot of circus. There's been a lot of rah-rah about him and his return to NASCAR. And I'm not going in that direction yet on that. Not even close on that. So, Bubba has a chance to make something happen here. And he's done it. He took that step. He ain't coming back. He doesn't think that. Rightfully so. I mean, obviously, Chevrolet you know, not winning enough races. I mean, besides Harry Motorsports, I mean, outside of them, and Ganassi with Kurt Busch has not won a race this year with 9 races left, and Kurt is still in the playoffs as we go to Virginia to Richmond Raceway, the short track, here this weekend. So I mean, they've been the only team or an organization to win in a Chevrolet this year, while the other guys are struggling. Or actually, maybe take that back. Austin Dillon won on a strategy call at Texas, so I take that back. My bad, right there. So with the 1-2 finish, so you know, Richard Petty Motorsports have not tasted victory lane in quite some time there. So, and they're gonna be looking for avenues elsewhere. So, Bubba taking that step there. Doesn't think. And Bubba will finish the season with the 43 team, with Jerry Baxter, the crew chief there. So I applaud Bubba for making that step. I definitely thought he was going to stay there, and you're not going to make hay with what you got right there. So obviously there's other opportunities there for him. So the Bubba watch is on to see where he lands next in the NASCAR Cup Series. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III, here with y'all here in cool Manhattan, Kansas, where it's been raining cats and dogs the last few days, and it's finally stopped about lunchtime on the roads for work, for my work. So finally stopped, still cool, and not trying to get sidetracked or anything, but next week's supposed to rise up a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see after that. Yeah, we got a little sneak preview here this week. Taking away all the rain that's been falling here in Manhattan, Kansas, cooler temps and whatnot. So definitely fall is here. We're getting a taste of it now. College football is around the corner. NFL about to start here shortly with the Chiefs, the defending champions, taking on the Houston Texans, a rematch of the AFC divisional game. As I sit here, record this podcast here, as this podcast will come out an hour before the Xfinity Series race tomorrow night. So, with all the scheduling, and I'm saying it now, with all the scheduling, with all I've been going on, a half marathon on Monday, which I did pretty well, this podcast will come out an hour before the Xfinity Series race. It's still Friday, still 3Wide Friday, but it'll come out an hour before the Xfinity Series race begins. So I want to get that out there before any more racing happens there. And I want to talk trucks here real quick here. Obviously, Saturday, I did not see it because of the, I did not have a chance to see it because football was on a television screen, so did not pay attention to that, but did see highlights of the truck race, and a strategy call by Ben Rhodes scores the win at Darlington last week there, with no, staying out. You would think that staying out there, you know, you would get caught, but other than Ben Rhodes has been quietly under the radar this year in the Truck Series, the South Carolina Educational Lottery 200 last weekend. Ben Rhodes getting the win, staying out on the racetrack. Ben Rhodes has had a terrific season there in the Truck Series. Pretty much secures his spot in the Getting Outdoor Truck Series playoffs. As I believe this is the finale tonight, the regular season finale tonight for the Trucks, as I record this podcast. So, yep, yeah, big names like Johnny Sauter's nightmarish 2020 can't come in soon enough for him. Stuart Friesen also outside looking in. And I'm sorry to get off track here. Let's just run down the top 10 real fast. Ben Rhodes, Derek Krause, Austin Hill, Tyler Riley back, was too little too late on fresh tires there. Grant Evinger finished fourth. Christian Eckes finished in the top five. Then his teammate Rafael Lassard, 6th. Todd Gillen, 7th. And they mentioned Stuart Friesen, 8th. Timmy Hill. Damn. Timmy Hill finished in the ninth spot, followed by Brett Moffitt. Caps off the top 10 there in Darlington race in the Truck Series, which we made a return. And Brett Moffitt winning stage 1. Sheldon Creed taking stage 2. Of that race there last weekend. And Sheldon Creed has been red hot coming in, entering the fall, and we got the finale tonight as well. So, man, a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to switch it to my screen here real quick. Check out the standings here as, yeah, so their opener, yeah, their opener at Bristol, if I'm not mistaken, for the playoffs. Talladega is in there as well. Ben Rhodes staying out, only leading four laps for the win. And man, these Darlington races last weekend, man, they were some eye-popping results, especially at the end of the Xfinity Series race, bout on bout, Hamlin versus Chastain, and then we all know what happened, the Darlington Southern Cookout Southern 500, man, that was at least pretty much not how he pictured that at all, especially in my camp. So, yeah, this unexpected, I mean, this is why you don't turn the TV or leave the races early. You don't know what is going to happen when it comes to these races there in NASCAR. So, Brett Moffitt had that dominant truck at Darlington. Actually, maybe take that back. GMS Racing led 100 plus laps between Sheldon Creed and Brett Moffitt. Sheldon Creed ended up finishing 18th. 82 laps there and coming up short. And Brett Moffitt, 63 laps in this race. Up to the final. Here we go. Here's what the situation leads. Ben Rhodes punches his ticket in there. So, seven guys out. Well, actually, six of the 10 playoff drivers have a win. Brett Moffitt is not a part of that. He sits fourth right now. And he are obviously locked in. Christian Eckes should lock himself into the field. Playoff field, he's sitting in eighth. Right now, Ingram, Gillen, right now, have the final spots. It really comes down to 3-2 versus 1. Right now, the gap between he and Derek Kraus, who finished in a run-up spot, which I ran down the standings earlier, or the results from Darlington, he sits 10 out from Todd Gillen right now. So, Derek Kraus, I have raved about him the last couple episodes on the podcast, and he's there. He is there. It being a mistake by Gillen or Tyler Ingram. Again, Ingram last year, going into the playoffs last year, via went at Kentucky. And if one of those guys make a mistake tonight, and Derek Kraus can not make mistakes, then that could be really interesting going in there. And that's the battle right now. Obviously, when you look at it right now, it's win or you're being left out in the cold. Already mentioned Johnny Sauter, Stuart Friesen, and these guys, Raphael Lessard, Tanner Gray. Yeah, this is the last chance tonight for the Richmond race. And it's been, how long since they've been Richmond? It's been forever since they raced there. That action is about to stop top of the hour, just a little bit of top of the hour. On top of that, you're going to have NFL football on top of that as well. So I know that this episode comes out tomorrow night, but so you're just going to have to roll with it. The trucks out first with their racing to Otakare 250 season finale for the trucks. Can Derek Kraus pull it off and get himself in the playoffs, or will Ingram and Gillen hold serve there, or will Johnny Sauter or Stuart Friesen hit the game winner home run and get himself into the playoffs there? So yeah, anything can happen in the trucks there. That's going to start shortly on FS1, top of the hour, folks.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
The Xfinity Series double dip in Virginia starting tomorrow night, and they'll be racing Saturday afternoon as well. So Xfinity Series is going to be busy as well. But of course, unfinished business, recapping what took place at Darlington for the Xfinity Series. And man, again, what a finish. What a battle. One of the best battles. Again, I mean, these Xfinity Darlington races, these innings have been probably the best racing all year long. Chase Briscoe, Kyle Busch, earlier this year, battled it out all the way down to the wire. And same thing here with Chastain, Denny Hamlin, 15-lap classic duel between those guys. Hamlin going for this Hail Mary move off a turn, sealing it down in there, hitting the wall. Chastain also hit the wall, collecting Hamlin, Brandon Jones. And I gotta tell you something. I gotta come up with a nickname for my man BJ, because his wins this year, including throwing it back to Kansas City last year, right place at the right time, and he did it again, putting yourself in position, scoring win number 3 of the year for Brandon Jones, Georgia native, getting it done there, scoring the win there, and really pulling away on the last, it was 2 laps to go with that move that Denny Hamlin tried to put on there. Denny Hamlin making a rare appearance in the Xfinity Series race there last weekend in South Carolina there. And this was a snooze fest there until those last 20 laps there between the 10 and the 54. And I keep repeating myself on the podcast, Ross Chastain, and somebody made a good point. And I've been saying this on my podcast. Somebody made the point, I believe it was on Lap Track Podcast when I was listening to earlier today. And I ran B Crowd has been saying the same thing I've been saying. I mean, when Ross Chastain, we're deep in the season, and Ross Chastain has not had one victory yet. I mean, yeah, he came on, he burst onto the scene with Ganassi, not last year, but the year before last year there, busting out wins, dominating, and this was an opportunity for him to shine. His teammates have shined this year. Allmendinger getting the win on an oval at Atlanta, of all places. Justin Haley's shining on plate on speedway tracks this year, getting himself a couple wins. And Ross Chastain, even though, yeah, he dapped up a little bit with Denny Hamlin after the race there, comes up on the short end of the stick yet again for the second straight week in a row, Chastain. And he comes to a track where he's dominated, but he fell short there for a couple of times there. So Chastain, he's knocking on the door of getting that elusive win, and he needs it. I mean, playoffs are around the corner for the Xfinity Series. I believe 2 more weeks, or actually I should say 3, no, 2 weeks, no, 2 weeks. I believe the playoffs start for them at Vegas, if I'm not mistaken there, for the Xfinity Series. So, man, Chastain, no wins yet still for that 10 team, and gotta wonder, can Ross Chastain, for all the hype that's around him, and no offense, for all the hype that's surrounding him coming up, Mr. Heartbreaks Hotel, whatnot, has not delivered that win for Matt Colley yet. So, gotta wonder, he's probably, I mean, not putting him in the whole Kyle Busch category, but sort of is. I mean, Chase Briscoe and even little old and big, tall old Austin Cindric had been red hot, winning a bunch of races this year. Chastain has not. So, can he answer the bell? You have 2 chances to do it at Virginia in Richmond this weekend. Denny Hamlin, Brandon Jones. Mister, where do you? You know what? I'm just gonna call it. But he was on the come up there, past Ryan Sieg for 3rd, but put himself in that position there. Brandon Jones was coming, and because of the Denny Hamlin, Ross Chastain back and forth battle that we saw, epic battle, another epic battle in the Xfinity Series at Darlington. Brandon Jones, Ross Chastain. Chastain led 43 laps in this one. Ryan Sieg led 9 laps in this one, finishing 3rd. The consistent Riley Herbst continues. He finished in the top 5, 4th, while his teammate Denny Hamlin led 31 laps en route to a 5th place position. Harrison Burton, Noah Gregson, Michael Annette, Austin Hill making an appearance there. Austin Hill, top 10s in his races last weekend. Austin Hill in that 61 Toyota 9th. And that's not the first time we've seen him in the Xfinity Series. And Myatt Snider capped off the back end of the top 10 in the Xfinity Series race last weekend in South Carolina. Chase Briscoe finished just outside of the top 10. He and Austin Cindric, 11th and 12th respectively, in another miserable performance, unfortunately. Not of his own doing. Daniel Hemric like Johnny Sauter, there's no luck for him this year in the Xfinity Series when it comes to junior motor sports. Austin Cindric still has comfortable advantage over Briscoe, 54, heading into this weekend's races in Virginia. Bluffs is pretty much set here unless something climactic happens there. Brandon Brown has the last playoff spot by 45 over Jeremy Kmetz heading into the races in Virginia. So tomorrow, NBCSN has a doubleheader with the Go Bowling 250 on NBCSN, 6 Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, as the trucks are closing in on getting their race started here in a little bit. And then the afternoon race on Saturday afternoon, which I'll be at a football game here in Manhattan, Kansas, K-State game, home opener. Virginia is for racing lovers, 2:50, 1 o'clock Central Time, to set up the race, playoff race number 2, which will happen that evening. Of course, we'll get to the playoff drivers here in a little bit on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. So that's Xfinity Series talk right there, wrapped up in the one right there for you guys here in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. All right, time to take our first time out here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Or I should say intermission break on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. On the other side of the break, Darlington, man, oh man, the finish that we did not expect. Another win for Kevin Harvick. We set the stage for Richmond on Saturday night.
Don't get caught in the middle. The 3-Wide podcast will be right back after this timeout.
NASCAR podcast returns here in Manhattan, Kansas. EG3 in the building. Eddie Gritter III. Garrett Outdoor Truck Series. Xfinity Series. NASCAR Cup Series. The three biggest divisions. All of motorsports. We are closing in on the green flag here in a bit on the Truck Series. Also closing in on the green flag of the NFL football season. 2 hours away from where I live, Kansas City, Missouri. The defending Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, take on the Houston Texans. Of course, when this podcast comes out, we know who won the opener, football opener there. So excited football. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it is here officially for the NFL season. Excited for that. College football started last weekend. So, and also the playoffs for the Cup Series also started last weekend with a stunning finish, which led to one of the dominating drivers of the year, Kevin Harvick, gaining the win yet again. And he's pretty much in, by the percentage of 10 wins, he's right there at it. And I'll probably put it 95%, maybe really 99%. Harvick will get 10 double-digit wins. And again, Brandon, I guess Brandon K. Carl said it, brand Kevin Harvick ain't going to win, could get screwed and won't win the championship. So, hey, I mean, Final Four, anything can happen over there, obviously, but that's a, we're still ways from that. And but Harvick pretty much already, if he wasn't a lock then now, he's definitely 100% a lock to be one of those drivers in the Final Four. One of his favorite tracks over there at Phoenix. Again, that's going to be an interesting scenario with the whole pandemic over there. Arizona has been one of those states that's been on the hot zone over there. So once we get there, we'll see once we get there. But for now, Harvick, 8 wins in 2020. Goodness gracious. But really, this all, and I'm going to start from the top. When, okay, so this is how we're going to do it from the episodes of the 3Wide NASCAR Plus when it comes to playoff drivers. And we're going to talk playoff drivers only. So if you didn't, unless you win a race, unless a non-driver wins a race at Talladega, which obviously is 50-50, and we see everywhere else, that can't, a playoff driver won't have, unless one of the big names falls out of it, then you're not going to get talked about on the 3-1 NASCAR pop. It is what it is. You know, the truth is real. I mean, I'm speaking the truth. I mean, you didn't make the playoffs. You're not going to get talked about on a show unless you make the top 10. Otherwise, you ain't going to get talked about that much. So that's how it is. And if you get eliminated, then that's too bad. So we'll just play it week to week. And interesting scenario here heading into Richmond with the whole playoff situation here. But right from the jump, already, not even a lap raced, Ryan Blaney, the 12 car, 12 team, already stepping on their own toes. And Ryan Blaney had a rough night at Darlington last weekend. did not run well, and he goes this weekend to one of his worst tracks. Obviously, Bristol is one of his best, but the results have not been there. Bristol, keep in mind, won the first elimination race of his playoffs in the Cup Series. So this thing could get really wild this weekend, especially Richmond, where anything can happen there as well. Short tracks, back-to-back, prime time. So Ryan Blaney lost 10 points. Todd Cruden kicked out, did not crew chief the race last weekend in the Southern 500, and they weren't there. They were just there, and then had to come in the pit in stage 3, something like that. Yeah, Blaney, he finished deep in the field from that aspect of it. Matt DiBenedetto getting the last ticket into the playoffs, not a factor in it as well. But I'll tell you who was a factor in this thing: Austin Dillon, and I agree wholeheartedly again with Dan Ryan from the Lap Track Podcast. You get him, Kevin Harvick, he was struggling. And yeah, Kevin Harvick did not have the car to beat last weekend. He did not have car to beat. Obviously, that belonged to Martin Truex Jr. and Chase Elliott. Well, particularly, really, Martin Truex Jr., Chase Elliott 1B in that instance there. But Austin Dillon sailing on in there and came a bit short. Yeah, Kevin Harvick, he was really struggling last few laps there. How he got there, I don't know. Austin Dillon was really closing in on him. And even if MTJ and Chase did not take each other out and finish 1-2, whatever, Austin Dillon was going to finish top 5 and probably would have passed Harvick or something like in the range of that motion. But Austin Dillon run finish, and I'm like Jeff Gluck in this instance as well. I mean, he started off hot last year's playoffs too now, and then lost it in the season finale. And yes, Austin Dillon, we have the starting lineup for the Cup Series. We'll get to that here as well in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast here. But Austin Dillon, I'm not sold on it yet. Because it's been inconsistency. Like I said in the top of the podcast here tonight, too much inconsistency going on. Yes, RCR, they've shown flashes. I mean, they've improved. I mean, I said it early on tonight. They've improved. But they have a great finish. Say they finish second. Next thing you know, where they at the next week? So, I mean, I'm not going to get high on that just yet. I mean, yes, 10 points, and they talk about comfortable cushions. I don't think 16, 12, and 10 are comfortable. I mean, I would have been fine with 39 plus there for Truex and whatever what Chase had there, because they can't they can't screw up again. I mean, that's just what it is. Because, I mean, yeah, Chase Elliott's pretty good at Bristol. I mean, yeah, he dominated the All-Star race. And he was there in the early Bristol race there before Joey Logano happened there earlier this year. So, just a lot of variables yet to be played. And I'm not sold yet on a second place for Austin Dillon. Sorry, man. I mean, great run. I mean, yeah, he had a good car at Darlington last weekend for the Cookout Southern 500. I'm just not sold on that not yet. I'm not sold on it just yet. So there's that factor there. You go to your third place finisher, Joey Logano. I mean, he had damage on the back end of that car to finish third somehow. I don't know how he did that, but there he is again. I mean, was for what it is, just laying in the weeds, and then all of a sudden, Logano just pops up out of nowhere, and he's there in the top 10. So do you have it there? The lone non-driver, playoff driver, to finish inside the top 10. Give a call out to Eric Jones, Joe Gibbs Racing. And speaking of Bubba, looking for a ride, Eric Jones. This is one of his favorite tracks. He was a defending winner last year. And he comes up on the fourth end of the stick. So this is what we're talking about here. If you finish in the top 10, you will get your praise here on the 3-Watt NASCAR podcast. If not, we're going to just move on from it. But anyways, yeah, Eric Jones, great run. After he started 30th position deep in the field there. But for him to make his way up forward to the field passing cars, he did a tremendous job there. So call out to the leading non-playoff driver, Eric Jones, finishing the fourth spot. All right, moving on. Playoff driver, finished fifth, William Byron. Back-to-back top fives for him. Come off the walk-off winner at Daytona 2 weeks ago. And William Byron, he struggled too. I mean, some of these drivers struggled. Byron, one of them. Logano had an up and down night. And this is what I'm talking about. Long race, 500 miles. A lot of stuff can happen. Still a lot of things can happen between the start and the end of these things. You stay with it. And this is a perfect example. Obviously, Chad Knaus, top of that pit box, getting after William Byron again. We've seen that so many times between those guys. So William Byron off to a good start. His teammate to follow that, playoff driver Alex Bowman, finished sixth in the race last weekend. Bowman led just a lap there. So Alex Bowman went through most of the night. He was in the top 10 for a while, fell back outside of it, and found himself back in it when the fourth quarter came around. Then Kyle Busch, seventh in this race there. So he has a little margin of error. He still has little margin of error for himself as well. So going forward, but good start for that team there, the 18 team. And at one point, he was 1-2-3 with Truex and Denny Hamlin as well, leading that Joe Gibbs Racing Brigade there. Unfortunately for those guys, that did not end up where it played out. We know how it ended there. Kyle Busch off to a decent start there, but he's still sitting 10th right now in the playoff standings, heading to one of his better racetracks. Brother Kurt Busch, finishing the 8th spot there. Kurt Busch and his crew chief, Matt McCall, made a big call early in the race to get stage points, which is going to be oh so critical here in these next two races here as we wind down around the first segment of these playoffs. Kurt Busch staying out there and battling his way back at one point. He was a lap down at one point as well. Eric Almirola, Mr. Top 10, another top 10 for him, followed by Clint Bowyer, playoff driver. Bowyer, and especially Bowyer, he struggled a little bit to stay in the top 10 as well. He found himself there as well at the back end of it as well. Brad Keselowski, the big winner of the night, Brad Keselowski, hit the wall early in this race. Again, this is what I'm talking about. 500 miles is a long time on any racetrack. And that team rallied back. Jeremy Bullins did a tremendous job of coaching his driver there to stay with it. Got one of the cautions, got the lap back, and he just kept on chugging away at making one pass after another, and all of a sudden he was in the top 15. Next thing you know, he's closing in the top 10. So Keselowski, huge, and he was going to be in huge trouble there. And he comes out on the better end, on the back end right there. And he's sitting fourth in the playoff standings as of right now. So, and then you move down to Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr. And everybody's going to wonder, everybody's been wondering what I'm going to say about the incident. And it's funny because AJ from the Loose Lugs podcast immediately, and I tweeted when this thing happened, and me and my wife were trying to put over 6.5 month child now, Emma, to bed, and if it wasn't bedtime, I would have screamed like a hoot, but did not. It took a lot right there to be solid. I was there, and lucky it was only that. Did not want to get that upset, but internally, I was pissed when that happened there. And AJ said, politely, I'm not going to repeat what he said on the message, but yeah, at the end of it, he messaged me back. We went back and forth a little bit and said it was a racing deal, and apparently Chase Elliott is going to be interesting going forward still, though. Because I'm keeping my eyes on that 9. Because I'm pretty much like Chase when it comes to holding grudges and stuff like that. So I'm going to keep close eye on him. But apparently, earlier this week, Chase and Martin saying both it was a racing incident. And, you know, as calm as I am now, I mean, might not seem like it now. But, yeah, I blame... First of all, I don't know where Clayton Hughes was at on that when the time this happened there. But, yeah, obviously, Martin tried to put it in there. And uncharacteristically, I mean, he had enough. I was talking to Big D when this went down. He could have waited at least. I mean, I was still pissed at the moment. But he could have waited until turn 3 and 4 because he was definitely better than Chase on that back on that side of the racetrack there. Chase was good in 1 and 2. And Martin was good in 3 and 4. And what set this all up was Chase opened a door wide open for Martin to set it up in the high side. I mean, yeah, Chase pretty much interrupted the air for Martin there because he saw Martin really rim right in the high side there. And then opened the door back up for Martin. Martin had a huge ass run to him, and it would set it up. I mean, he could have just got underneath them a little bit. Off of 2. I mean, we can sit here and play armchair crew chief now. But, yeah, I mean, that's very uncharacteristic. But, I mean, hell, at least he went for it, man. I mean, who knows? If you don't go for it there, Chase could have went on and win. I mean, this is the playoffs. I mean, you got to get that elusive win. I mean, you win, you automatically move into the next round. And I'm suspect. I mean, if something happens to the 9 or 19 next 2 weeks, and they somehow fall out and get eliminated, circle this one. Circle this moment right here. I mean, it's way early in the playoffs. And circle this moment right here between these drivers that they had an opportunity. And basically, I mean, yeah, Martin made a bonehead decision and whatnot, but I put Chase in it too. I mean, Chase left the door. He started it. He opened the door wide open for him to make that run. I mean, you were blocking him in the first place. You should have stayed on the high side. So, I mean, you set yourself up for that one. And how many times this year that Chase Elliott should have more wins than he should have? I mean, and Martin too. Yeah, I put Martin in that category too. Martin should have more wins too. I mean, threw away another one. I tweeted that out to somebody. To one of my friends, he threw another race away. I mean, he dominated this race. Martin Truex Jr. and Chase Elliott, 114 laps. Martin Truex Jr. 196 laps. Together, they led over 200 plus, and you don't come out with a win. My goodness, I be damned. You mean that's just. I mean, yeah, it's a racing deal, but this is one of the things that you're gonna look back on and say, damn it, I wish I did this, would this, did that. But it was coming down to one point and 14 laps to go. And I totally disagree with Jeff Gluck on the fact that, I mean, you gotta take it, you gotta give it what you got. I mean, yeah, I mean, if it was a regular season, definitely Martin would have held back there, held it back and waited maybe another lap or two or something like that. But, I mean, this is the playoffs here. You see the chocolate cake out there. You want to get it. You want to go out there and get it. And Martin won that chocolate cake and didn't get it. And when it turned out both of them didn't get it. Because, I mean, at the moment of time, I thought Chase came down. Squeeze him down a little bit. But at the moment of time, I'm just being flat honest. So, but again, I mean, circle this. I mean, yeah, 16 and 12, respectively, on the good. I wouldn't call that safe. So, I mean, you call what it is, but, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, anything happens on these short tracks, and you can get multiple laps down. And, yeah, so, I mean, definitely, guys, keep your eyes peeled for the 9-19 this weekend and see. I'm sure, I mean, Martin, this is good for him because, yeah, Martin, and the result of it, Martin starting 14th and Chase starting 12th on Saturday night. Ouch. So, after all that lean laps, and when I'm trying to summarize this in my head, I believe they led two, if together, my math's correct. Here, let's see. Yeah, if my math's correct here, zero. Yeah, they led really most of the race because Martin almost led 200 laps in this race specifically. So, yeah, I mean, that's just, wow, that's just a wow stat that I take from the weekend. So, yeah, these guys, 20th and 22nd, respectively, there. So, it's going to be interesting to see there. And, obviously, I made, yeah, that's it. That's the final, that's the last playoff drivers right there. So, the 9-19 kind of wrap up that conversation there. But, Kevin Harvick, what more can you say right there? Right place, right time. And holds off a hard-charging Austin Dillon for the win in South Carolina.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Last four out right now, heading into Richmond on Saturday night, and Ryan Blaney obviously shot he and Matt DiBenedetto on the same Devisant. As I mentioned earlier, Ryan Blaney, that team shot themselves in the foot already with not even a lap on the track. I mean, you can't do it. I mean, team, you have to execute, whether it's the driver, whether it's the pit crew, whether it's the road crew, whether it's all the above. You have to execute solidly. I mean, this is going to be the perfect example. You don't pass tech or you have issues, you already lost the battle already. And Ryan Blaney already lost the battle in 10 points. That could be costly for Blaney, and he's coming to one of his worst racetracks this weekend. Matt DiBenedetto, can he find the answer? Yeah, that team had a lot of work to do. So, and then Bowyer and Almirola, teammates Stuart Haas Racing, tied for the last transfer spot going into Richmond, going into Richmond on Saturday night. And the other guy, the 41, their rookie teammate Cole Custer, who's going to win Rookie of the Year, only sitting 3 points back of those guys. So Cole Custer's been running well. And did I talk about Cole Custer? I did not. I must have skipped him. Yeah, Cole Custer. Cole Custer finished 12th. Denny Hamlin finished 13th. And Hamlin, missing pit row, cost him opportunity to win the race, giving his track rival Harvick another win. Cole Custer finishing top 12. I mean, this is what you got to do in the playoffs right there. Cole Custer did what he needed to do. But you got to finish. If you finish in the top dozen, you're giving yourself an opportunity to transfer to the next row. You cannot have what Martin and Chase did and Jace did, take themselves out, take away a lot of points. They threw away a ton of points there. They could have been comfortable, but they're really not. And that's just my opinion, of course, on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. So, yeah, that's what we're setting up as right now. Going in to these races, and Richmond is going to be interesting under the lights, and it's going to be a lot of pressure now on these guys. and Stutthof Racing in trouble already, and really particularly Ford. I mean, look at it. All them Fords, starting with Almirola, well, actually, now, actually, so, yeah, Keselowski and Logano are okay, but the rest of the guys I just named off are not. So, yeah, Ford's not off to the best start in the 2020 playoffs. As we take a look now at the starting lineup now for the race Saturday night, the Federated Auto Parts 400 here. Let's get some music jamming up in here for this. So the starting lineups already came out already. So, which ended up being, of course, the man of the year, one of the mans of the year, Kevin Harvick, starting on the pole. He'll start first. And again, we're talking about playoff drivers specifically. Joey Logano will start right up front, the front row. Harvick, Logano, Saturday night on, I want to make sure I get this right, on NBCSN. Moving on, back to the lineup. Playoff drivers, Austin Dillon, RCR, starting third, matching his car number. And last year, Austin Dillon had a good car at this race, too. So we'll see if they can back it up here. Austin Dillon starting third. Alex Bowman starts fourth. William Byron fifth. Kyle Busch starting sixth. Denny Hamlin will start seventh. Kurt Busch starts eighth. Brad Keselowski ninth. And Eric Almirola, your top 10 all playoff drivers, 1 through 10, at Richmond Saturday night. The rest of them include Clint Bowyer starting outside the top 10 in 11th. Chase Elliott, I just mentioned him. 12th, Cole Custer in between the 9 and the 19. Mark Trish Jr. starting 14th. Ryan Blaney, 15th. And Matty D starts 16th. And that's really all the playoff drivers starting in this top 16 there. With, of course, Matty D capping it off right there. So, starting lineup already made up, already set. Excuse me, Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano, front row, Saturday night on NBCSN. There was some other news as well that I'm going to get to right now. Crew chiefs, after a couple of loose missing lugs, Kyle Busch, Clinton Bowyer will not have their crew chiefs Saturday night. And that's big. That's huge. Considering the position where Clinton Bowyer is at. And even though Kyle Busch got a top 10 last week, that's big. That is huge for that team right there. So that's one of the things that nobody really acknowledged. And yes, due to my schedule, I mean, I got to record a little later on in the week with the way it's unfolded. But with all with the news unfolding and everything else, we get it talked to you first on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. So pretty reluctant there. But yeah, I mean, crew chiefs, that's big right there. So no Adam Stevens and no Johnny Klausmeier at all for those guys. That's critical. I know Clint Bowyer is pretty good at Richmond as well. So that's critical. That's huge going down here. So, I mean, we'll have the monitor to that as well. And if you look at a couple, going back to the statistics, going back a little bit, a couple years, Logano, 4 top 10s, Denny Hamlin, home track, he's going to be licking his chops, wanting to get even in the win column with Kevin Harvick. Obviously, Harvick, 8 wins. Denny has 6, if my count's correct. Kyle Busch also have 5 top 10s. Harvick and Keselowski all have 5 Truex for top 10s, including the last 2 wins at this racetrack. He needs a good run. He needs to stay out of trouble. Chase Elliott, 3 top 10s. Bowyer also put him in the Truex category, 4 top 10s at this racetrack. Kurt Busch, 2 top 10s. Almirola also have 2 top 10s at this racetrack as well. So yeah, man, the stats look good for some of these drivers. And the key here, obviously, long run speed and short tempers. This is where it's really going to help out right here for some of these guys. So we'll keep, I mean, yeah, they might be straight now. Obviously, everybody's going to be keeping an eye on the 9 and the 19 Saturday night. And there's going to be other battles on the racetrack between teammates, Stutthof Racing, the cut line could get tighter. We'll see who pulls that off on the way there. So I want to get some picks here real fast before, excuse me. So the trucks here, obviously, last chance, and I might actually go on a limb. Obviously, I want to make the right choice here. I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm seriously going to go on a limb here. Yeah, the truck series already started. That's a course podcast, but I'm going to, 10 points isn't much. Derek Krause, the playoffs will be set for the Gator Outdoor Truck Series tonight after the checkered flag falls. Here, let's see what we got here. Actually, it started right now. As we come to the end of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, Austin Hill is leading Christian Eckes right now. As it's begun, Austin Hill has a lead of a second and a half over the 18 car right now. So, if things hold serve here, it could be said Derek Krause is struggling right now as we record this podcast right now. So, maybe not. So, we'll see what happens here. But obviously, I'm going to go on a limb here. And, between the top five right now, I could be dead wrong here. Christian Eckes has been knocking on the door here. He wants that win, obviously, to get some playoff points in here. And I'm just going to be different and say him. Because obviously Austin Hill's had a tremendous year. And he's going to lock up the regular season championship tonight. But I say Christian Eckes could get him tonight. So that's that. My Xfinity Series picks for the first race tomorrow night. Off the top of my head here, I want to say, I'm going to go Junior Motorsports. I'm going to say Allgaier for race number one, and then race two in the afternoon, hot and slick. I'm going to go for a good top 10 run. I'm going to go Robbie Hurst in race number two, just to be a little different. So I got Allgaier Hurst in that and on the Cup side. Now, so before I do that, 3-wide move of the race and who I'm putting in the second hole, obviously the 3-wide move of the race. I'm going to pick multiple from this. I'm going to go with the Brandon Jones. Again, getting the 3-wide move of the week. Yeah, he's there at the right time. I could have gave this to Harvick or them, but decided to give the Brandon Jones again for 3-wide move of the race there. Put himself in position there, and he scooted and ran away with it last weekend in the sucker hole. Yeah, you lost a lot of points there. That's the obvious choice there, but I'm actually going to go Blaney here for the sucker hole move of the race of the week. You're in it, really, the whole 12 team there. You're already not even a lap down, not even a lap into the race, not even the green flag didn't fall, and you're already making a mistake. So that's deserves a second hole move of the race there. I'm Ryan Blaney in the 12 team. I'm going to put you 3-wide for the week for that as well. So that's that there. So Brandon Jones, a 3-wide move of the week, and I'm going to put in the second hole, the 12 team for not being prepared for South Carolina. And my pick for Richmond. Who I got? Well, man, I'm going to play it safe. But I'm not going to play it safe. I'm going to go be aggressive here and go outside the box. Look at with the Riley Hurst pick. I'm going to go somebody who needs to stay out of the bubble. I'm going to go In the spot with no crew chief, with his regular crew chief, I'm gonna go Clinton Bowyer to get a good solid run and put himself in position to where he finished run up at Bristol, get himself some points there. So I'm going a little off the rails in the back end of this podcast. So that's that as well. So yeah, so I'm gonna write that down and I'll have the results for y'all on next week's edition of the podcast. So Richmond is officially underway with the Truck Series right now. Austin Hill pulling away with his lead over 2 seconds now, over 2.5 seconds now, over new second place finisher or runner now, Ben Rhodes. Christian Eckes fell back to the third position. You can follow me at Eddie_EG3 for more On Richmond, I'll probably be a little more active this weekend. We'll see about that. And the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, find it wherever you get your podcasts. Obviously, you're downloading episodes from our podcast. If you wouldn't mind, please leave us a 5-star rating. That helps us out tremendously. Just continue to spread the word. We've been getting a lot of listens as well, so I appreciate y'all a bunch for that. As the playoffs continue, please do that. Spotify, Audioboom, Stitcher, Radio.com, SoundCloud, a 3Wide NASCAR playoffs in playoff mode. Man, anxious, very anxious to see what happens on Saturday night. The auto-rated Federated Auto Parts 400 on NBCSN. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. Y'all know what it is. Big D, the producer of this podcast, thank you for his help as always. And, of course, your host, Eddie Greer III, saying thank you for listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Darlington playoff style in the books. Richmond Raceway, what will happen next in the NASCAR 2020 playoffs? Find out on NBCSN. We out. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3Wide.